to rest, and the day is to work. And when Allah says that خَالَقُ الْإِصْبَاحِ وَجَعْلَ اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا, that He has made the night to rest, the night to relax. Now when He has designed the night to be a time when we relax, it is only at that time that we can get comforted and we sleep. If someone works all night and wants to sleep all day, he will never find himself comforted, he will never relax, no matter how much he sleeps during the day. But during the night, if he sleeps for a few hours, you will find yourself that you will be relaxed, and that sleep which you need, you've got it. Not sleeping during the night, sleeping during the day, it's like charging your iPads with a USB connection. It takes hours and hours and it will not get fully charged. You plug it into the mains, quickly it will be charged. So that is the night sleep. That is, no matter what tasks we may be having, we have to shut them down, and for a few hours we have to rest during the night, and that is how a person is healthy. We have etiquettes in Islam for everything. The same thing is with sleeping. There are certain things that are makruh, that are disliked when a person sleeps, and certain things are mustahab, are recommended when a person wants to sleep. So I will list the makruh first, that is, to sleep after Fajr and before sunrise, it's makruh. That is the time when Allah has the downpour of special favors upon mu'mineen, and if we are asleep at the time, we are the losers. We lose all those special favors which are downpouring at us. So if you want to get up to benefit from those favors, we have to sleep at night, wake up in the morning at the time of Fajr, and try to be awake from Fajr until sunrise, and then after sunrise you can sleep. Sleeping between Maghrib and Isha, that is also makruh. Sleeping in the state of janabat, when ghusl has become wajib on an individual, sleeping at that time, that too is makruh. Sleeping in a mosque is makruh. Sleeping all alone is makruh. There's no one in the house and we are asleep in that house, that is makruh, it is disliked. Sleeping with an unwashed hand after having a meal, this too is makruh. Sleeping on your left hand, on your left side, it's disliked, it's makruh. That is, when we go to bed, sleeping on our left side, that is makruh. Sleeping on the belly, again, that is too disliked, it's not right. Certain acts are mustahab in sleeping. One of them is that to have a nap before Zuhr. That is not possible nowadays, only on Saturdays or Sundays if someone is lucky. Sleeping with wuzu, that is, perform a wuzu and then sleep. And before you go to bed, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, recite Ayatul Kursi, recite whatever surahs you know. If nothing is memorized, then just recite one tasbih of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam. That way a person, he has slept with wuzu after reciting that tasbih, and it will be as such that he is worshipped all night. And hadith says that if a person was in taharat in wuzu and he went to bed and he passed away, that death of his also has the reward of a shaheed, just because of that little etiquette which was observed. Using the washroom before going to bed, it's mustahab. Sleeping on your right side with your hand under your head, it's mustahab. So, on the back, it's okay. On the right side, it's mustahab. On the belly, it's makruh. On the left side, that is makruh. So all these recitals that we have from Masumin, to recite them before going to bed, whichever you remember. And also, if we want to wake up at a certain time, getting up in the morning is tough, especially for the teenagers. Although it's difficult for everyone, but early morning, getting up to say the prayers is difficult. And we've got an ayah in Quran which works like a wake-up call. It is the ayah number 110 from Surah Al-Kahf. That is, if you want to get up at, for example, 5 in the morning, if you sincerely recite that ayah once before going to bed, you will get up in the morning, whatever time you want. You don't need any clocks, any timers, any iPhones, nothing. You can get up yourself. So I've got some of those printed out over here. If you want this ayah, it's here. Recite it before going to bed, be in wuzu, and that ayah also works like a miracle. Coming back to our topic, and that is the wasiyah that we have from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam
to his companion Abu Bakr. In this part of the Prophet, of this advice, Rasulullah points out at a few issues, and we try to talk a little bit on them. Mentions that ya Abu Bakr hasib nafsika qabla an tuhasib. That is, Abu Bakr, before you take an account of yourself, before an account is taken from you. فَهُوَ أَهْوَلُ لِحِسَابِكَ غَدًا. That is, if you take an account of yourself here today, it's going to be very easy for you when an account will be taken from you in the year after, and that is the Day of Judgment. قَبْلَ, and then says, وَزِنْ نَفْسِكَ قَبْلَ أَنْ تُوزَنْ. That is, measure, weigh yourself before you are weighed in the year after. That is, a person, his weight, it's not the kilograms and pounds that we have here, it's the performance, the actions, the deeds that we have. If the actions are good, he will be heavy and he will be assigned better positions and locations over there. On the first night, we did mention that there will be mu'mineen who will look up into the heavens and say that how come they were in the same group with us, in the same al-wilayah, how come they are excellent, they have better positions in the heaven. And for that, Rasulullah mentioned the reasons. Says, وَتَجَهَّزْ لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرْ يَوْمَ تُغْرَضْ. And you prepare for yourself, prepare to present yourself on that day, for that day when everyone will be presented. So preparations for the hereafter have to be done from here. And then he then comes to this point and talks about shyness, about shame, about haya a mu'min has to possess. Says, Ya Abu Bakr, استحي من الله فإني والذي نفسي بيده لا أزال. Then he says that you have to be ashamed, that you have to feel shy in the presence of Allah. May that be regarding the performance, the actions, the amal that we do, or otherwise. That is, always a person, he has to feel as if he is in the presence of Allah, and in the presence of Allah, a person has to be shy and humble. Because definitely, that what is required and desired from us, we don't do it to the best of our ability, that quality is so low. Then he says that even me, la azalu hina adhab ila al-ghaib, that Rasulullah mentions that when I go to the washroom, I am so much shy and ashamed that I cover my head with a piece of cloth from over my head so that the angels who are with me, I am ashamed of them to see me in that position, in that status. Now many things are learned and understood from this one phrase, and inshallah we'll talk about that in a little bit. So coming back to the first phrase where Rasulullah mentions about purification, about striving for the hereafter, that a soul has to be constantly moving towards perfection, that is known as muhasaba. Muhasaba is an agreement, it's the accountability that we ought to have. You've heard this term, phrase, sayr, suluk, tahzeeb, which is purification. All of that turns back to muhasaba, that is taking an account of ourselves. We have to take an account of ourselves all the time. On the hadith, the Holy Prophet, he says that حَاسِبُوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَنْ تُحَاسَبُوا. You take an account of yourself before an account is taken from you in the hereafter. So, muhasaba, it is that accountability we have to give importance to, like every retailer, every businessman, every shopkeeper. Every day he sells all the goods to his customers, and at the end of the day, the teller, he checks how much he has gained, how much he has lost. That is a healthy businessman. So if he does that every day, at the end of the year when he has to do the tax returns and submit the accounts, it's going to be easier for him. But if he doesn't do that every day and just piles up and everything becomes a mess, then at the end of that year it's going to be a very difficult job to, and so much of time also has to be spent to put all those accounts together. Like those auditors, like those good people who monitor and who have the quality control all the time, here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in this glorious saying mentions that you have to take an account of yourself constantly all the time. On the first day it was mentioned, then the reason why everything has been mentioned is because the ghaflat, which is forgetfulness, which is this negligence, it is so much in this life of ours that we get all these temporary files, all these cookies which make our system so slow and doesn't run properly. So we also have to constantly delete them, all these temporary files, all the time. And that is how we can keep ourselves up to date. Many a times it happens that we are forgetful. Or this nafs which Allah has given to us, the soul, it is very naughty. It is very nasty. It makes us forgetful. That is the wrong that we do. First of all, no one likes to mention the wrong that we have done. We always want to be praised by everyone. If someone calls and addresses me with a false name, with a negative title, I don't like, you won't like, no one likes to be addressed in that way. That is why we find all these lawsuits which are related to defamation are the most expensive lawsuits. So, people, they like to be praised. They like others to address them in the proper way, in a nice way. Even we ourselves, when it comes to the wrong that we do, we become so much forgetful and we say, yes, certain sins we have done throughout our life, maybe 1,000 sins. But the reality is that if we stop checking our performance, our actions, it may be 1,000 sins in a month, in a week, God forbid, in a year. And if we start counting the sins, for a lifespan of 70, 80 years, it's going to be thousands and thousands of sins. And how are we going to get that repentance and forgiving for those sins? So we have to be careful. For that reason, now if you look into the definition of taqwa, which Ma'asumeen, they mentioned, they say that taqwa means in a thick, dark, thorny jungle where you can hardly see your way out, and in that place full of thorns, full of wild animals, snakes, scorpions, you have to find your way out. You can't in that dark place. Here Ma'asum says you need a torch that could enlighten your path and that could take you out safe. Says that torch is taqwa. That is, how do we get that taqwa? It is by these teachings. That is, if we have that torch with us, it's going to be easier for us to get out of that. And to remove that ghaflat, that negligence, that forgetfulness in our life, we need some light. And that light is taqwa. That light is what the Prophet is mentioning over here. If you look into what we have, the psychiatrist or in psychology even today, the idea to remind the wrong of an individual, they don't like, now all these sins that we have, in a way it is as if they are promoting the sinners. If someone has killed someone, the psychiatrist, they sit and say, oh, this was the reason, he wasn't feeling well, he was depressed, or these are the problems, that was the atmosphere, all that. All the sinners, you see, they are safe today because of all these rules that we have. And all these rules are based upon that negligence and forgetfulness, to increase the forgetfulness in the society so that man, he is distant, he forgets himself. Drugs that we have, alcohol that we have, this music that we have, all these addictions that we have today are all promoting this forgetfulness, this negligence. And that also has to be, we have to be careful that we don't fall into these traps. So, Rasulullah says that in order for you not to fall into these traps, you have to take an account of yourself. Now, how do you take an account of yourself? That is again something we have to be very careful. Now, the psychiatrists, they try to justify the wrong. Even what is taught to us, this is what, that is, justify all the wrong that we do. If someone doesn't pray, they come up and say that meditation is good. Why should we just bow down and do all those five times prayers, wake up, tahara, and so on and so forth. Meditation, yoga, sit and talk to her. Or when it comes to fast, why should we fast? The ruling of fast was for Arabia where Rasulullah came. The days over there were small. Living in the West, it's 20 hours, 21 hours in the summer, so it doesn't sound right. So the rule of that place should apply over here. So all these are different tactics which Shaitan uses to make man more forgetful and more distant from God. Or for example, when it comes to the concept of hijab, or when it comes to the concept of wearing beard for men, again all these lame excuses which come up that it is for the sake of job, we don't find a job, it's not a suitable place, all that is wrong. Employer, he doesn't do anything. The employer which we have, it's God. He provides the sustenance. This, the employer that we have, all these are fake employers, are just tools that are. If we be obedient to God and stick to the program that He has laid, He says, I will find you an outlet. That is, we have to try and learn to say no to everything which stands against the teaching of God. That is, wherever He says, do it. Wherever He says, don't do. Inshallah, we'll touch some part of the topic, inshallah, after this. And this is how Allah helps from the unseen, and what are the criteria for this to attract this help. So, wrong that we do, we have to take into consideration, have that mindset that every wrong, it has a reality, it has a form. Ayat from Quran, riwayat from Masumin, all of them talk about this. They say that in the hereafter you will find that the wrong that I did, it will exist before me, as the good I did will exist before me, will take a form before me. In Usul al-Kafi there is a chapter, it says that people who have memorized verses of Quran, surahs of Quran, and they forgot. For example, in our childhood we memorized many surahs which we have forgotten now. Riwayat, it says that there are many. They say that when we will check into the heaven, we will find beautiful forms are present over there. And we would say that, oh, we know them. They look so much familiar, but who are they? We wish that they would be with us in the heaven. Then they will be addressed. This beautiful being that you see was that surah which you had memorized when you were small, when you were a child, and which you had forgotten later on. Had you not forgotten those surahs, those ayat, this being would have been your associate, your companion in the heaven. As the wrong that we do will take a form in the hereafter. But it is a form here in this world. Quoting from Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma, Mirza Jawad Agha Maliki Tabrizi, one of the greatest ulama of our time, passed away about 50 years ago. He has been the ustad of Irfan and Akhlaq of Marhum Imam Khomeini. One of his students is Sayyid Mahdi. Now in this group, it's Ayatullah al-Uzma Iraqi, those of you who were in the Taqlid of Marhum Imam, they switched over to Ayatullah Iraqi to remain in his Taqlid. That is in the 1990s. Now this Sayyid Mahdi was of his group. He says, once I woke up to say my night prayers, my Salatul Layl, and I come out of my room to go to the yard where the house, the farm was, to perform my wuzu and then say my prayers. He says, I open the door to go out and I see the yard of my house is not the yard which has been all the time. I see it is as if in the midst of a huge big place with hundreds of rooms all around. And there from one of those rooms I hear someone crying, calling. He says, I step down and I move towards that cry that was coming from that door. And as I moved closer and closer, that cry was increasing. I heard it louder. He says that when I come to the door, I see from the grooves, the door is not shut. And through the grooves, I see that someone is dumped in the earth all the way up to his neck. And there are two beings beside him dumping something into his throat, like sand, like dirt. He was terrified at seeing the scene. Says open, open, and they wouldn't open. Rushes to his ustad's house, and at that time it wasn't Fajr yet. He says, the moment I started knocking at the door of my ustad, he from inside the house says, Sayyid Mahdi, why are you worried? they showed you something, you shouldn't panic. No, he hasn't revealed anything to the ustad yet. He opens the door, he fell into the arms of his ustad. Ustad says, what you saw was the way how one of your friends in Tehran was dying. The reason for that painful death, because he lived on soup, on interest, on jewelry. For that reason, that painful death was given to that individual. So sins that we do, they have a form, and then departing from this dunya will be such painful. As the good that we do, it also has that form, and it has that very beautiful effect. Now, to improve ourselves in this field of spirituality, in ethics, in irfan, in akhlaq, we've got many books written by ulama. Mi'raj al-Sa'ada, we have Jami' al-Sa'ada, Ihya al-Ulum, so on and so forth. So, the tips which Rasulullah mentions in this phrase, he says that when you get up in the morning, there are three tips to observe. Throughout the day, one is musharaka, one is muraqaba, one is muhasaba. Musharaka means an agreement with our soul. And the best time for that, as it is said to us, is that when we have said our fajr prayers, we sincerely intend with ourselves that during this day of mine, this is the program that I will do, these are the tasks that I will carry out, these are the things I will not do. That is musharaka. That is after my fajr prayers, I have to agree with my soul, that is what I will do. Or looking into the performance of Marhum Allama Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan, the last week of his life he was almost in a state of coma. But his students, they say that he was in a state of coma as such, but he wasn't. He was totally awake. We thought he's in coma. Ayatullah Ibrahim Amini, who has been the Jummah prayer leader of Qom, he says that when he was ill, the ustad was ill, I went to the hospital to see him. I knocked at the door, he was as if in coma. I come by him and I tell him, what shall I do so that I become a better person? What must I do so that I have that presence of mind in prayers? To someone who the doctors have said he is not in the right state, this ustad in that state says that musharata, says muraqaba, muhasaba. Repeats it. Repeats all these three, says that that is muhasaba. That is, you have to take an agreement with yourself early in the morning after fajr. And then muraqaba means monitor your performance throughout the day. That is, all the way through, whatever I'm doing, constantly monitor myself. If someone bursts into flares, is in rage, then he has to constantly monitor himself. If he's in rage, if he's hot-tempered, standing, sit down with him. If he's sitting, stand up, or take a sip of water, and that way you will be able to control yourself. That is monitoring. Looking into Quran says that Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtaha. That is, Allah, He takes away the souls of when they die. Mentions that in the same ayah, that when you go to bed, it is a minor death. Whether or not we will wake up, no one knows. In this ayah says that in the morning, if you woke up, that it is as such that Allah, yes, He ceases all the souls at night, and then He gives some back, returns out, and they return back to their bodies. If they return back, the teaching is that we have to be thankful to Him that the soul has been returned back to us, and it is as if a new life, a resurrection, that is, we are going to have throughout the day. As it was mentioned yesterday, that the teaching which Rasulullah teaches here, when we participate in funerals, assume that it is you yourself in that coffin, and that you are requesting Allah to give you to come back to life, and when you come back to your home, it is as if a life, new life has been given to you. Here also it's the same. So it's constantly we find that death is reminded to us, because the ultimate aim that we have is that prosperity. That ultimate prosperity is by belief in the Day of Judgment. So for us, first priority is akhirah. Whatever we find and do in this world, that is secondary. Or if we do anything for this world, if it's my job, it's my studies, it's my work, whatever it is, if my intention is that all this is a tool to get me to the hereafter, that is success, that is prosperity. So the aim has to be prosperity, and that prosperity is belief in the day of judgment. So first, musharaka, that I have an agreement with myself that throughout my day, this is what I will do, and then muraqaba, I will constantly monitor my affairs throughout the day. To understand this, I will quote this hadith from Rasulullah. Says from our sixth Imam, he says, "Inna rajulan atan nabi faqala lahu ya Rasulullah usini." Imam Sadr, he says that a person comes to the Prophet and says, "Ya Rasulullah, give me an advice." فَقَالَ يَا أَلَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَهَلْ أَنْتَ مُسْتَوْسِنْ إِنْ أَنَا أُسِيدٌ. He said, if I advise you, will you carry out that advice? Will you listen to me? حَتَّى قَالَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ تَلَاقَةً. He repeats that three times, that if I give you an advice, will you listen to it? Will you abide by it? He says, yes. And then he says, نعم يا رسول الله. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَإِنِّي أَوْسِيكَ إِذَا أَنْتَ هَمَمْتَ بِأَمْرٍ فَتَدَبَّرْ عَاقِبَتَهُ. That is, if you intend to do a task, the Sunnah says, bring to your mind the aqibah of that, the akhirah. That is, always be reminded of that akhirah. To understand this hadith, there's another hadith. It says that when you stand and worship to say your prayers, think that this is your last prayer. And after this, you will not be given an opportunity to say another prayer. So with that mindset that this is the last prayer of my life, what will I do? I will do it in the best possible way. So over here, says that whatever you do, always think about the end results, about the end of it. فَإِنْيَكُ رُشْدًا فَمْدِهِ. That is, if it was something good, do it. وَإِنْيَكُ غَيْكًا فَانْتَهِيَا. And if it was something bad, or something doubtful, you will run. So this is the beautiful teaching that Rasulullah has. So first it is that musharata, I have an agreement with myself, and then muhasaba, I constantly monitor my tasks, and then, or elsewhere says, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُحَاسِبْ نَفْسَهُ بِكُلِّ يَوْمٍ فَإِنْ عَمِلَ حَسَنًا إِسْتَزَادَ اللَّهُ. That is, someone who doesn't take an account of his self is not from us. Masumeen, they say, is not from us. فَإِنْ عَمِلَ حَسَنًا. If he does good, إِسْتَزَادَ اللَّهُ. Allah will increase. That is, he requests him Allah to increase. وَإِنْ عَمِلَ سَيِّئًا إِسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهُ. And if he does bad, he asks Allah to forgive. That is again something which we learn from Masumeen alayhi salam. Or elsewhere, the Holy Prophet, he once mentions that to his companions, أَلَّا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْيَسِمْ كَيْيَسِمْ. Rasulullah says, shall I inform you of the smartest of the smart people? وَأَحْمَقِ الْحُمَقَى. And the most stupid of the stupid people. And then the companions say, Ya Rasulullah, yes, can, what is it? قَالَ أَكْيَسِمْ كَيْيَسِمْ مَنْ حَاسَدَ نَفْسَهُ. Rasulullah says that the smartest of the smart, they are those who perform, who do their deeds, their actions for after their death. That is an investment which they do for the life after death. And then he says, وَأَحْمَقُ الْحُمَقَى. And the most stupid, مَنْ اتَّبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَى. That is, who follows his desires is the most stupid person, and who has never ending hopes. That is someone who is done, who is stupid. Now for this, we find in riwayat from Ma'sumin, first of all, it's that muhasaba you have, the agreement with your soul, and constantly monitor your actions. When it comes to monitoring the actions, we have this glorious saying from Imam. He says that when we do a sin, when we do some wrong, on this beautiful crystal clear surface of our heart, a dot appears. If we quickly erase that dot, the heart is back to square one. But if we don't, one sin was done, we don't repent, another sin, that dot increases, And gradually as the sins keep on increasing, we find that the surface of that heart becomes dark. And at that point, that heart, it cannot be fixed, it cannot be corrected. So for that reason, we've got this saying of Rasulullah, this teaching that muhasaba, have an agreement with yourself throughout the day, monitor your tasks, monitor your affairs, and at the end of the day, he says that muhasaba, you have to take an account of yourself. That is, in the morning it was musharaka, that agreement, during the day it was muraqaba, that monitoring, and at the end of the day it is muhasaba, that is, before you go to bed, take an account of yourself, that what we have done throughout the day, what we had the initial agreement, did we abide by that or did we not? It may be difficult, but gradually it is possible, because these teachings which Rasulullah has, it's for you and me. Because it's possible, he mentions it to us. And because he wants us to become better people, we have to try. So, apply this little prescription onto ourselves and monitor carefully every day. May that be waking up for namaz. Now, even for waking up for the children especially, we don't need support from parents to get up. We can try and get up ourselves if we are old enough. And also have a little chart with yourself. If it is difficult to get up in the morning for namaz, for prayers, note down that today I woke up, tick. Tomorrow see, was it late, was it early, was it qaza? Write that down. So in the week, just see yourself for the first week, how many days you woke up on time, how many days you were late. Keep on continuing, the second week is going to be better than the first week. If we woke up 2 days in 7 days, the second week it might be 3. If we just keep on continuing, a time will come, we get 7 out of 7, and all the days of the week we are awake on time. And we continue with this program for 40 days, then that becomes part of our existence, and it will stay with us for the end of our life.
Fawajib al-salawat! Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So the teaching that Rasulullah has over here, and inshallah we will continue this tomorrow, that is, take an account of yourself before an account is taken of yours. Weigh yourselves here in this world before you are weighed, that is, your actions, they are weighed in the hereafter. One of the beautiful topics that we have is help from the unseen, that Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, in certain cases, to some he helps. He helps from the unseen. Now, is it just by random, or is there something, there is some criteria based upon which this help is granted to us? For example, one may say that if I was married to such and such a person, my life would have been different. Or had I studied in that university, my output would have been better and my life would also have been different. Or for example, if I lived in that house in, for example, Beverly Hills, my status would have been much better than what it is now. All these things are just excuses with our talks that we have, but in reality, the elements, the factors that make our lives or that ruin our lives, they are different. So, striving is our task. We have to strive, we have to work. And in addition to that, we have to rely upon Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And when we rely upon Him, the rest is upon Him. So everything that we do in this dunya, whatever it is, may that be your studies, may that be your work, may that be, whatever it is, it's just 50%. We do only the 50%. The rest of the 50% is from somewhere else. That is Allah. If I study, now coming here was the 50% of my job, my duty. Whether or not I will continue, that is not up to me. It may be a stroke, maybe a person dies, and that's it, end of talk. So that the rest of the 50% wasn't mine. The same thing is with studies. One may have studied good throughout his college years, universities, and it's the time to give his exam. He comes to the examination hall to give his test, all of a sudden everything is forgotten, doesn't remember a word. So 50% of his he did, the rest of the 50% wasn't his. Or for example, we plant a seed. We give the right water, the right heat. Everything is provided. Now whether or not will it grow? We don't know. Quran says, أَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ. Is it you who grow that seed, or is it we who grow that seed? So that 50% of our was planting that seed. Or when it comes to the human being, so the birth of a baby, he says, what you do is just get together. أَنْتُمْ تُمْنُونَ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. What do we create? There are many who got married, never got children. There are many who did get married, who were blessed with children. So all that is with Allah. 50% is our task, the rest of the 50% is His task. So for this reason, we have to teach ourselves, educate ourselves, that everything is not us. In reality, we are nothing. Nothing is from us, everything is from Him. But this 50%, because it's the new year, we've got all these sales and reductions everywhere, that's why 50% is being mentioned over here. When it comes to help from the unseen, we find that one way that Allah helps is by ilham. Ilham means He inspires. He inspires an individual and says, this is what we've done. For example, He inspires someone.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For example, maybe during the day we have a dispute, God forbid, a fight with someone. And in the night we see a dream, and that entire action replay is seen in that dream. Sometimes we have a dream that this is what is happening and it hasn't taken place. But when we start our day, we see that everything is unfolding exactly as we saw in the dream. That is inspiration. Or sometimes, you may have witnessed, one of the Asafi, he says that I came out of my house and I wanted to go and give my lecture. That was his daily routine. Says, I walked out of my house and I couldn't move. I want to step forward, I can't. There is something bugging me that go back home. Go home. I said, why should I go home? It's my time to go and teach. It's my job. But that thing was so strong that he said, I turned back. I came inside the house and I saw my little child drowning in the pond. So you may have witnessed that sometimes you find that you are in the car and you want to drive, but there's something bugging that go back and you come into the kitchen and see the gas is on. Or something has been left open. If that was, we didn't have locked it, shut it, it wasn't safe. So that is ilham, that is inspiration, that Allah helps. To Prophet Musa, he inspired, to Musa's mother, he inspires, says that you will be blessed with a child. Now when she gives birth to the baby, and it's a boy, the informers, she's worried about the informers of Fir'aun, that if he is informed, they will come and kill the baby. She is inspired, that put the baby in the basket in the river, and we will return him back to you. That is inspiration. Then Fir'aun is inspired that a baby is going to be born and he will ruin your rule. Your kingdom will be lost. He gives out instructions that whichever baby is born, kill him. So that is inspiration. Sometimes Allah, He helps by creating fright into the hearts of the enemies. For example, there is a hadith which says, Al-Mu'min kal-Jabal. Mu'min is like a mountain. Mountain means strong, huge, mighty, heavy. No one can do anything to it. Here it says that a mu'min is like a mountain. Or during the time of Saddam, or even Pahlavi in Iran, we found that Khomeini was there. He was there and also there. If they wanted, they would have killed him easily. Now someone who has killed tens of thousands of people, or someone over there who has killed more than a million people, for him, killing one more person wasn't difficult. He could have killed him. But he did not. Why did he not? Masoom says, Al-Mu'min kal-Jabal. Mu'min is strong, like a mountain. So we may go on the mountain, we may stand on the mountain is under our feet, but we can't do anything to it. That is
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Or for example, what we see today, they say that they've given a prize money. So whoever kills Sayyidina Hassan will be given $1 billion. And that rich, wealthy prince, he says, another $1 billion from me, just to get rid of that Sayyid. So, because that mu'min is so strong, as said by Masoom, that al-mu'min kal-jabal, enemies, they play in that way. But they couldn't do anything, help from the unseen. Why is that? Inshallah, we come to that point. In the Battle of Badr, which Quran talks about, basically this Battle of Badr was not supposed to come into existence. It wasn't supposed to happen. Muslims were kicked out of Mecca, empty-handed, nothing in their possession. So they came to Medina without anything, empty hands. Rasulullah tells them that there is a container coming towards Mecca. We can go and take that container because they have looted, taken everything from us. We will take that container, whatever we have lost, we will compensate our loss with that, because it is going towards Mecca and it is theirs. So we said, okay, from Medina to Mecca, it was at a distance of 100 kilometers, and they start in obedience to Rasulullah. Now, by the time they reach Mecca, instructions changed. Wahi is revealed that, Ya Rasulullah, go and fight with them. Don't just go and take your container, fight with them. That is a battle of a war. Now, Muslims over here, Meccans over there, the container is also there. Now, when they want to come to fight, Allah helps in a beautiful way. Quran says that يُقَلِّلُكُمْ فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ, that Allah makes this large number of Muslims look very few to them. So they, when they saw it's just a few Muslims and we are larger in number, so instead of we going to fight them, we will send our slaves, our servants, so that they can go and get rid of these Muslims from them. So with that mindset, they send their slaves and servants to him. And when they come to this point, Quran says, يَرَوْنَهُمْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ رَعْيَنَيْنِ. That is, initially they saw them just a few. All of a sudden they see, ooh, it's a large number of Muslims. How are we going to fight? That way they won. That is how Allah helps. Now how is this that they look so few initially, and when they come closer, all of a sudden, there are so many. That is how Allah makes people blinded. Sometimes we also see in our life that we get deaf, we don't listen to what's happening just besides us. Something is in front of us, we don't see it. That is how Allah works. Or for example, when you look into the Surah Al-Fil, when Abraha, the superpower of that time, he was coming towards Mecca, aim was to destroy Kaaba. Allah helps, sends those tiny birds with something in their mouths. What is that? Says tarmihim bihijaratin min sijjin. Hijara means stones. Mufassirin, they say that the size of this was smaller than a chickpea, a little bit bigger than a lentil. It might be the size of a button. So little birds throwing these stones from there onto these elephants, and they are destroyed. That is, the superpower is destroyed by these little stones that were thrown by those birds. So
Allah Akbar,
that he made them like straw, like eaten straw. Why? Because of that help from the unseen. Why did that help happen? We'll come to it. Or for example, Allah helps Prophet Sulaiman. Prophet Sulaiman was granted that kingdom. He sees that the bird is missing. Says, where is that bird? And that bird comes, informs, helps Prophet Sulaiman that there is a queen over here, and there are her subjects, and they all worship the sun. So after a few communications, Prophet Sulaiman, he sends a note to Bilqis, saying that innahu min Sulaiman, innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim, a note from Sulaiman which starts as bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And after those communications, we find the queen herself embraces, and all many of the subjects also, they become Muslims. So that is help from the unseen through a bird. That Allah helped Prophet Sulaiman through a bird. Sometimes we find that Allah helps through a child. Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam is mocked by the nation. They say, Maryam, what did you do? What is this wrong you did? What is this crime you have committed, this sin? She doesn't say anything, observes silence. Just points out at that baby, and the baby says, Inni Abdullah, Atani al-Kitab, Waja'alani Nabiyya. Indeed, I am the servant of Allah. A book has been given to me, and He has made me a prophet. So help to Hazrat Maryam through a baby, that Allah helps her through that baby. Or sometimes Quran says, وَمِنَ الشَّيَاطِينَ مَنْ يَغُسُونَ لَهُ وَيَعْمَلُونَ عَمَلًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ for Prophet Sulaiman. That is, Allah, He helps him through jinn. Prophet Sulaiman, he had many of these underwater constructions. And for those underwater constructions, he helps him with by the means of the jinn. Or for example, Prophet Musa, when he was about to be killed by Fir'aun, one of the regular people, he comes and he finds there is a meeting going on and they've got plans to kill Prophet Musa. He runs, comes to Prophet Musa and says that this is what is happening, the conspiracy is against you. Just run away now, leave this town. An ordinary person comes and helps Prophet Musa to flee away, to run away from the town to help, to save. So that is again help from the unseen. It could be through birds, it could be through stones, it could be through animals, it could be through just an ordinary person. Now, you may have heard this. It's the days of Arba'een and all of these zawars that are heading towards Karbala. May Allah protect them all and bring them back safe to their homes. Days of Arba'een, they are special. And on this day of Arba'een, on this planet Earth, the most amount, number of zawars and visitors that we have to any shrine is the shrine of Abu Abdullah Hussein. Nowhere else. Only there. And last year, the news report from your ABC in Canada, they said as many as 9 million zawars came to Karbala. They say that now there are millions of zawars that will go come to Karbala on this day of Arba'een, and the beauty is that they walk to Karbala and bare feet. And people that are heading towards Karbala, there is no way out. Either they have to just pass by and then come from the other side. There is no way for them to return because millions of zawars heading in. Now this was shown on the Baghdad TV a few months ago. And people, they have these tabarrukat, cooking, feeding, huge big pots that are being cooked for tabarruk for Abu Abdullah Hussein. Now one of these groups who are cooking food, they bring these huge big pots and they start cooking in the middle of that procession on one side of the road. And they say that amidst the cooking we run out of gas. There is no gas. We can't get to Karbala to get it, nor can we go out because the traffic is moving inwards. Anyway, they said that we have to get this food cooked. It's going to get spoiled if we don't do it. They unplug the cylinders from the cooker and to bring it back, to refill and come back. They say we removed the gas, but we see the food is still cooking. There is gas under the huge big pot and food is being cooked. That is help from the unseen. We have riwayat. Imam says that whosoever steps in my way, whosoever feeds for my those who cry for me, or whoever feeds someone who is a zahir of mine, it is upon me to provide him food. I will not let him hungry. That is why we find in riwayat that someone who gives a sip of water to someone who has attended a majlis, or these sabils that we have in Pakistan or Iran, every corner we have stalls where people they provide water to the zawars. That is something we have done from Abu Abdullah. Hadith says that someone who provides just a sip of water to a zawar, it is as if he's provided that water to Abu Abdullah and Hussein himself.
Allahu salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Labbaik ya Hussein.
لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين.
So that is a Husseini promise. He says that you do it, I'll feel. That is that 50% was done by us, help from the unseen was his. So everything is like that in this grand creation. When it comes to submitting to Allah, when it comes to obedience to Allah, when it comes to a heart which is relaxed, for that also that 50% is required. You look into this wasiyya of marhum Imam, he has a phrase in the end of that wasiyya. It says, "Badini aram wa qalbi mutmain," that I am departing with a relaxed, with a content heart. Now, can any one of us do that? Definitely not. Who has that heart which is so much content that with all that courage he could say that I am leaving this world behind with a content heart? If we ask the rulers today to write that sentence, can they do it? Impossible. How? What? Where do they get that content heart? That content heart also is help from the unseen. Do that 50%. Or in those days when Tehran was being struck with missiles, the doctor, he says that he's an old man, he has heart problems. Let me do his ECG, let me get his readings. He says, do a reading for your own heart. My heart is fine. So that is help from the unseen. Or for example, in this help from the unseen, we find the ayah in Quran, أنزل السكينة, that Allah gives this sakina, means that tranquil heart to an individual, because that 50% was done by him, and the rest of the 50% is from him. Or for example, when it comes to izzat, honor, fame, or disgrace, that too is not in our control. It isn't as such that if I do this, this and this, I will be honorable. No, definitely not. That 50% has to be done whether or not he wants that grace to be given, that honor to be given, it's up to him. Or when we see this ayah in Quran, فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, عِزَّةَ, grace belongs to Allah, all of it. Not that 99% belongs to Allah, 1% belongs to me, no. لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, all of that honor belongs to him. And when Allah wants to give this grace, honor, dignity to someone, he says that you trust me, you rely upon me, I will make you mahbub, I will make you beloved. You have seen in many of these processions and funerals that sometimes we find that we didn't know that person who has died, you know. But we find large number of mu'mineen participating in that funeral. It says that love Allah gives. Man amana billah, that is, whosoever has faith in Allah, sayas'alu lahu ar-Rahmanu wudda, Allah creates that love into the heart of mu'mineen, hearts of mu'mineen, for that one person. That love is also given by Allah. Grace is given by Allah, honor is given by Allah, dignity is given by Allah. We do the 50% and we rely upon him, he will do it. Or when we see this grace that was, this honor that was given just a few weeks ago, no one ever thought. They say that it's that cyber technology. We don't believe in all that. What we believe is that when Allah wants to grant honor to someone, he gives it in a way that the enemy comes and says, give my drone back. That is disgrace. That is someone who is at that height of fame, might, everything, has to bow down to someone who is the worst.
Daste Khuda barzarema, khamenai rehbarema. Daste Khuda barzarema,
khamenai rehbarema.
So, that 50% which Allah talks about is ours, and the rest of the 50% is from Him. Inshallah, we continue this talk. And if you look into the teachings that we have for the azan that is held for Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam, one of the reports that we have that as to how Yazid la'natullah alayhi dies, says that he felt and is afflicted with a disease, and we have physicians, the best of physicians, who come to treat him, to cure him. And one of them, when he comes, is a Jew. And when upon seeing the status of Yazid, he puts his turban down and says, the first question he asks, that, what have you done? Have you committed a grave sin that you fell into this illness? You see, he turns his head away. He says, I killed the grandson of the prophet. He says, immediately this is what we have heard from our prophets, that whosoever kills the son of a prophet or the progeny of the prophet will be afflicted with such a disease. There embraces and becomes a Muslim. Comes and says this story to his brother. Now the brother, he does not accept the word what he the brother has seen. His wife, that is his sister-in-law, was in the room. She listens to it. She instantly embraces and becomes a mu'mina. And from then onwards, whenever a majlis for Aba Abdullah was held, she participates in it. But there are informers in every community. Now, over here also there were informers. They come and say to her husband that your wife, this is what she is, that every majlis that is held for Hussein, she participates. You want to check? Check. He says, okay. Say that I've got guests of high caliber, dignitaries coming to my house today, and I want you to cook, prepare the food, and this house has to be nice and hot. She says, okay. Comes into the kitchen to start her work, and amidst that work, she hears a majlis in the neighborhood. Abandons everything and she just moves away to do that majlis. That majlis was done, and when she wants to come back, she is reminded that she hasn't done anything and those guests will be arriving at home anytime. Worried rushes to the house, comes into the house and sees that everything is in order. Everything clean, nice, tidy. She also wouldn't have done that good. Then says that I saw someone sitting in the middle of that hall with a blood-stained shirt in her hand. And she is crying. She says, who are you? She says, I'm Zahra, Hussein's mother. It is binding upon me, it is wajib on me that someone who serves the cause of my son Hussein, that I have to come and serve her. And then she sees a number of women in the kitchen cooking. She says, who are they? She says, that is Zainab. She takes the task on her that whosoever helps, whosoever tries, serves Aba Abdullah, becomes binding on her that she takes the charge and helps her. So that is help from the unseen. That is 50% from our side and 50% from them. Looking into the performance of Hazrat Zainab alayha salam, we find that she is Ummul Masa'ib. That is the afflictions, the masa'ib, which she saw, no one saw. Even that, those moments of Allah Abdullah, when he was being beheaded and that mal'oon was seated on his chest, no one saw, it was her. She is the only eyewitness who sees that scene, that how Allah Abdullah is beheaded. Amdan buridan man az Hussein dil khamad de meydan shimre siyah dil umi davido man mi davidam usuye maktal man suye qatil. Says that on that moment I severed ties from everyone on this earth, everyone. When was that? When Shimr, he headed towards the battlefield. She says that he ran and I also ran. He ran towards the maktan and I ran towards the killer. Umi nishasto, mani nishasta. روی سینه من در مقابل. Says he sat and I also sat. He sat on his chest and I sat facing him. اومی کشید و من می کشیدم او خنجر از کین من آه از دل. Says he drank and I also. He, that arrow from his back and me, everything that I had in my heart, I just poured out. می بریدم من می بریدم می بریدم من می بریدم او از حسین سر من غیر از او دل. Says he starts severing the head of Allah the Lord, and I sever my ties with everything on this in this creation but Allah Ilahi bihaq al-Zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawdar fiha. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ahyina hayata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa amitna mamata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma arzuqna fid dunya ziyarata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa fil akhirati shifata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa ajjil fi faraj Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Ilahi, all those who are ill and ailing, especially those present in this majlis, grant them with shifa. Ilahi, haqq al-Zahra, all those who have passed away, elevate their ranks. Forgive us all and grant us the tawfiq so that we could apply these tips and teachings that have been taught to us by the Holy Prophet. Wa'ajjil fi faraj Mawlana sahib al-Zaman.
Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein,
Ya